Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Susie Sunshine joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Susan Schmidt from Aviva Investors in Chicago, Chicago office, London-based company. And she's the head of U.S. equities, which means that she knows what she's talking about, unlike the rest of us. And I would like to ask you, let's start with this. The market, obviously, you know, super, super, super crazy for the last number of weeks. But now that we're back in a more, I guess, volume-rich environment, you know, we're past the holidays and everybody's kind of back to work, it seems to have calmed down. Is that connected?
Yes. Well, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think what's important is we're back from the holidays, so there are more active traders in the market, so we're seeing an actual market being made. And I think also we're getting data again. So remember that company earnings are about to start. We're about to hear management teams come out and talk about how they did this last quarter, what they're looking at for 2019, how the outlook appears. We're starting to see economic data. You get into this weird information void around the holidays, and the market gets nervous, and then it has no facts to go to cling to say, here's what the economy is doing. So you get some excess swings, and I feel now we're back. We had a nice, strong jobs report last Friday. Now we're back to looking at manufacturing data, and we're going to see a confidence number come out next week. So all of that is back in flow, and the market's looking at that and actually using facts to make an assessment of where they want to invest and how things are going.
I want to ask you about the significance of the Fed chair's comments, stressing patience about future federal rate hikes, increases. It seemed like that was... It was taken as maybe it will not happen as fast as we had expected for this year, or maybe not as many. What are you feeling the takeaway is there and what it means?
Well, the market breathed a sigh of relief with that. So we have what's going on now is the Powell pivot. So Fed Chairman Powell, you know, when we went all the way up through November, was really in talking about how, you know, the economy looks good. They're going to be able to continue to raise interest rates on a gradual basis because of the strength in the underlying economy. And when people got into December, they started to get really nervous about this because they saw volatility in the market. They saw concern over the China-U.S. trade talks. And then we're starting to see still lack of clarity around what's going on in Europe and some slowing growth in China. So the Apple announcement where Apple sales were down, that really surprised people. People got very nervous around that. So they want to know that there's some source of support for the economy out there. And if the government is still battling and potentially in shutdown for an extended period of time, that just highlights to the market there's a lot of dysfunction there. That's not going to be the entity that comes in and helps out business. So they really need the Fed to be supportive. And I think that Powell pivot, where Chairman Powell is now talking about being supportive of the economy, we don't need to be so aggressive on raising interest rates. Maybe it's going to be more gradual, signaling strongly that there's going to be a break, has given the market a lot of calming news, a sense of relief. And I think that's a big part of why the market has sprung back this last 2 weeks.
All right. Did Powell blink?
I don't think so. I think Powell and I think the Fed continue to be independent. It's very important for them to be independent of, you know, the administration. Whether Republicans or Democrats are in power, that, you know, the Fed is a different entity entirely designed to help and support the economy. I think what happened is the Fed looked at the data and recognized how nervous the market was getting based on this dysfunction in Washington, the uncertainty over trade, a lot of things that are out there that are negative that could potentially impact business. And they realize that with that growing nervousness, you get this unsettling, and that is a psychological effect where it just starts to slow down the economy. So I don't think the Fed blinked. I think the Fed actually was being pretty smart and saying, we're not going to get involved in an ego match here. We don't have to deal with that, but we are going to take care of the economy and look to what's going on. And they looked at the data and they said, all right, we don't have to rush into this. All along, they said they're going to look at the data and do what makes sense to support the economy and keep it going.
What about Apple and their news? They're going to come out with three new iPhone models this year. The tech sector was hit kind of hard the last quarter of last year, and a lot of people fell out of favor in terms of their popularity as stocks. But now you see some new plans in the new year. What do you make of that?
Well, Apple is great at introducing new products. That's one of the things that, you know, people look for is what innovation, what are they coming out with? How different is it than the last model? What can we do? The Apple warning that came out while we were all on vacation was really about weakness in China. And China is an important export market for a lot of our companies. And that Chinese consumer, that emerging and growing middle class, is an important market for a lot of U.S.-based companies to serve. And so when Apple came out and talked about their numbers, and it was a miss. They didn't hit the street expectations. And it was all because of sales in China. And the Chinese consumer was backing off. Their replacement cycle on their phone has slowed down quite a bit. So I think the news around Apple is really more news about what's going on with the Chinese consumer. And I think the new products that they're talking about today is just a reflection of Apple's standard. We just had the Consumer Electronics Show finish in Vegas, and that's where all the tech companies come out and talk about and launch their new products. So that Apple announcement about the three new products is really just a reflection of the normal timing of the market and coming out at that show talking about what they're bringing out in the coming year.
Are there any concerns about the shutdown in consumer spending affecting our economy? Are there any concerns overall about how it impacts us at this point?
Well, the shutdown itself, and that's a good question, Anna, because everybody wonders. The shutdown itself obviously is hurting the government workers who are not getting their paychecks. And so it's tough because for a short period of time, business can ignore a shutdown because it's usually just business as usual for non-government entities. Everything keeps moving along. But when you get a shutdown that is prolonged and you start to see massive differences between the two parties, then you start to impact consumer sentiment because people lose their faith that this is going to get resolved. I better save a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't spend so much. When that happens, the psychological impact can really change things. And so if we see that consumer get so nervous that they back off, that could be bad for the economy and definitely slow things down. We're getting that Michigan consumer confidence number next week, so it'll be interesting to see how that's changed from the last reading and see what the consumer is seeing and what the man on the street is feeling about all of this.
Man on the street. I want to know, the only people who are making any kind of sense left right now are the women on the street. That's it.
Well, that's true. A man on the street, if they got you, Ro, we know there'd be a panic. So.
Yeah. We're not behaving ourselves properly. I don't think we're not in terms of the stewarding of any of this.
And that kind of data, do you throw out like the top panicker and the least panicker, or do they do that? Because like if Ro were in it, I would worry.
Ro, we should put an exemption on his ID card right away that he's not qualified for this survey. But they do temper the data. It's a huge data pool, and so you know you do see that. And there's all sorts of questions. So when they go out and ask that consumer confidence question, it's about you know how do you feel about it now? How do you feel about it in the future? What do you think inflation's going to be in the future? Are you better or worse off than you were before? Where are you going to be in 5 years? It really is a strong list of and a broad list of questions. So I think that is the biggest risk here is that things get so tumultuous out of the administration and on that international level that the consumer starts to get nervous about the outcomes and we start to back off as a society. And we really talk ourselves into that downward circle where we slow down our own economy. Economies are made by people spending. We want you to feel good about shopping and investing and taking that next mortgage out, getting a new house, you know, putting all your money in a savings account doesn't necessarily help the economy. We want to see that money circulated. So when we start to get the psychology that impacts that, that's when we have to be worried.
And I suppose the thing that it may alarm people sort of initially is that there's going to be a slowdown in the government, you know, with the government being closed down for the last number of weeks. And maybe Michael Steele just told us going to the end of this month, you're seeing a lot of people trying to blame that on or trying to associate something in the broader economy with that. And do you think in the long run that this really does have any kind of impact?
when we're talking about now till the end of the month, the shutdown itself isn't what's impacting the economy. What will happen is if the shutdown impacts the sentiment and the confidence that, you know, U.S. citizens have in the government and their ability to get things done, and we feel that we're just grinding to a halt, that's when people are going to get a little more nervous, a little more concerned. That's when you really see the money circulation slow down, and that's what's going to impact the economy. I think in the interim, of course, we see the market, and you hear me talk about sentiment and emotion, and when we have an emotional market, when people get nervous, they're more emotional. So the stock market will react to those emotional pivot points. But I think the underlying economy, we saw some strong holiday sales. People were feeling pretty good. And I still think these small businesses, as they come out and talk to us during earnings, are going to have a lot of positives to say. So that's going to be the driver that the market focuses on for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Susie Sunshine, thank you very much.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you, guys. Well, I'm glad you're not panicking. It's good that you made it through all that volatility on the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it. All I know is that Cody Parkey's stock is way down, and that's all I can think about right at this moment. Thank you. We should wish Susie Sunshine a happy birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. There she goes.
All right. Sunshine. Bye, guys.
Susan Schmidt from Aviva Investors, the Chicago office right here. She's the head of U.S. equities for that company. Let's now talk to Kim Gordon, who is the head of U.S. headlines for us. What is going on?
Chicago is a tourist kind of town.